Everyone's experience is unique to them. This podcast contains the personal story, experience, and opinions of the speaker, rather than that of Breast Cancer Now. Hello and welcome to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. This is a series that shares the stories of people who have had breast cancer. It's also where you'll hear the voices of our nurses, researchers, and experts who help to provide support for today and hope for the future to anyone affected by breast cancer. Hello, I'm Em, and today I'll be speaking with Kate and Sarah. In the summer of 2018, both Kate and Sarah received breast cancer diagnoses. During treatment, a mutual friend introduced them to one another, and they quickly struck up a friendship. Since then, they have founded Bra Sisters, a lingerie and bra fittings outlet which caters to women who have had mastectomies. Kate and Sarah, thank you for joining me.
Hello. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So to start off with, I wonder if you could each tell me a bit about when you were first diagnosed with breast cancer.
Yeah, of course. Kate, shall I go first?
Why don't you go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. This is our double act begins. Yes, I was, as you mentioned in the introduction, I was diagnosed at the age of 37, and I had just gone back to work pretty much after my second maternity leave when I found a lump in my left breast. And quickly hot-footed it to the GP, who referred me very quickly again onto the local breast care clinic at the hospital. And within a kind of a week, I was there having the round of tests and ultrasounds, etc. And they were pretty sure immediately, as soon as they did the ultrasound, in fact, I remember the radiologist saying, yeah, this is worrying. So I had gone from thinking, this is just a cyst, as you would at the age of 37, to within the space of an hour and a half from that to, I've got breast cancer. And because they were so certain that it was a cancerous tumour, I kind of went into a bit of a spiral of, what's going on? What's going to happen? And then a whole host of things happened in quick succession. So I was able to see the consultant, obviously, there and then. He referred me to himself at in his private practice because I was lucky enough to have health insurance. And I was seeing him the following day and followed by MRI scans and other ultrasounds and biopsies and everything else. And it became apparent quite quickly that the size of my lump was going to be too large to just have a lumpectomy. It was going to have to be a mastectomy. So I had a full mastectomy on my left side and lymph node removal as well, a full lymph node clearance, basically, because it had gone into 6 of 15 of my lymph nodes. And I had that surgery within 10 days of being diagnosed, which was incredibly quick. And then after that followed 6 months of chemotherapy and radiotherapy. And then I'm on an array of medication up until, I don't know, 10 years or so, basically hormone suppressants, as my tumour was oestrogen fed, as lots of us find our tumours are. I am all clear now, and it's, you know, over 2 years since all of that. So
that's excellent.
I would say I'm pretty sure this is done and dusted. I'm sticking with that positive. It's done and dusted. It's a chapter of my life that's happened.
Mm. Well, thank you. That was a lot to put in a nutshell. Yeah, obviously you had young children when you were going into this whole whirlwind of events, I guess. And it was the same for you, Kate, as well, wasn't it? Am I right in saying that you also have young children, a young child?
Yeah, I do. I have two. So they're now, I'm just going to forget their ages, they're 4 and 6. So yeah, at the time they were 18 months and 4. So yeah, the littlest was very little. I was diagnosed the same time as Sarah, around July 2018. But yeah, I mean, I felt very well. I actually felt really, I remember kind of just coming back from a long holiday, you know, not just feeling good, but discovered a lump and I got it checked out very quickly because I do have a big history of breast cancer in my family. So my mother had also had breast cancer in her 30s. So I was 35 at the time. Mm. And my aunt had had it. My cousin, maternal cousin, had just recently been diagnosed with it as well. And, you know, so it was always on my radar. I guess it was always a real fear that that might, you know, happen to me. But I still was just, I don't know, I was just incredibly positive in that way. I just didn't think it would. So I went off and had it checked. And it was similar to Sarah, actually. The consultant was pretty sure at the time that it was. So I got my kind of results back to confirm that I had breast cancer in my left breast, and also that I was BRCA2 positive. So I had to make a decision then about what to do and whether to have a single mastectomy. And I decided to have a double mastectomy. So I had a double mastectomy reconstruction and 6 months of chemotherapy. And then during that 6 months of chemo, they discovered some kind of gynecological cancer or the early stages of it, which they thought possibly was linked to the gene, or they didn't really know. I was just incredibly unlucky. So I was then booked in to have a hysterectomy at the end of the chemotherapy. So finished the chemo and then I went in and had full hysterectomy. And yeah, that was the end. That was the end when that happened. I then kind of had various scans regularly now, and everything so far, thank God, is fine. But similarly to Sarah, I take letrozole. So I'm on my kind of similar estrogen suppressants.
Which is a whole other fun and games, isn't it?
You know, knowing everything that both of you have gone through, it is amazing that we're about to talk about how you've come out the other side and you've actually, in such a short space of time, managed to build a business together, but also form a friendship. So you met each other while you were going through treatment. Could you kind of speak a bit more about that? What was it like to meet someone going through the same process as you?
I mean, it was a huge relief, to be quite honest. Very unexpected. I mean, you don't expect to meet somebody who has been diagnosed with breast cancer, who's a similar age, has two boys the same age and lives round the corner from you. But as I say, it was a huge relief to find Kate when I did, because it did mean I had somebody to share this experience with. You know, it goes without saying, there's only really somebody who has had a breast cancer diagnosis and who's gone through similar treatment can really truly understand how you're feeling and how you're dealing with things and how your life's been turned upside down, and for you and for your family and your friends. And Kate did understand all of that. It's really helpful. And having her there to be able to say, oh, I'm feeling so crap today, or how's chemo treating you today, or my hair's starting to go.
No, I mean, I feel exactly the same way. I think I remember back to kind of having my diagnosis and just feeling like really suddenly like alone, you know, like I was the only person. And I think it was a mixture of my age, but also just suddenly thinking, God, I'm like the only person who's going through this. I don't know anybody else. And just like initially, like Googling, just like, you know, the worst thing going on, like Dr. Google, and looking up, you know, everything linked to my, what was happening to me, like Google, what will happen after a double mastectomy? And it's like the worst, you know, and you'll get back the worst things possible.
I made a conscious decision not to.
Yeah.
Because realistically, the only things that you're going to hear about are the worst case scenarios. If you want advice about your condition, about your surgery, about different types of treatment, say, that are given for breast cancer, use the official forums like Breast Cancer Now, where you can get all of the advice that's it's not biased, it's not negative, it's factual, and speak to your doctors and your breast care nurses, because you go down that rabbit hole of Google, you will inevitably feel a lot worse.
Yeah, and you'll get back the worst things possible. All of the, you know, everyone will go on there and say everything that went horribly wrong. So I was so pleased to find Sarah because, and also I think we had a similar attitude towards it. So I remember texting her. I think I was just going into hospital to have my, I was putting on my like surgical tights and that joy, that initial joy of squeezing it. And I remember her just like seeing a message ping up from her saying, oh yeah, we'll have to like meet for, you know, I'll see you on the other side. And it just, at that point, just seemed so bizarre. Like what I was going into, you know, I just didn't know what was ahead of me. And I think when you do, as you were saying, Sarah, when you get into that point of where you're going through chemotherapy and you're just dealing with all of these crazy emotions and the drugs that you're taking at the same time, it is nice to just meet someone and just talk about it who does just understand, I guess, because family try and you don't want to kind of almost put too much pressure on them as well. And they, you know, I'd probably text Sarah when I was like pacing around the house at 4 a.m. high on steroids, internet shopping. And, you know, it was just, but she kind of just got it.
Yeah.
I guess you almost need that person who just gets it. Even if you say, oh, I had this, you know, I'm starting on this chemo. And they're like, oh God, yeah, I get it. You know, you can send a quick text message. It just keeps you going, you know, that particularly those really, really difficult times.
Yeah, we have heard that a lot before, saying cancer is this very isolating experience. And when you are in that place, if you don't have anyone to share those, you know, those worries or those 4 a.m. thoughts fueled by steroids and impulsive internet purchases, that is a very lonely thing to go through. But I'm glad that you two were able to forge a friendship through this. And also I think you both bonded, especially over having some pretty uncomfortable experiences with surgery, post-surgery bra fittings. You've written about this for us, but I wonder if you'd mind just telling us about that again, because this is obviously what led into the Bra Sisters being born.
Yeah, I think it was just I kind of got through all the surgical side and I wanted to go and buy a have a bra fitting before I went into hospital, just thinking, you know, I had my kind of reconstructed breasts and I was coming out of that very tight surgical bra that you have to wear. It's like a straight jacket that I'd been wearing day and night, and I just went off to a just department store to have like to go and get some. It turned into a kind of comical trip, but for all the wrong reasons. So I'd kind of gone in there, and I remember my oncologist saying, oh, you know, when you have your hysterectomy, you'll go into the kind of immediate menopause, so you should probably try and find, I think she said something, a silk nightie. I don't know where she was shopping. So I was kind of in there, you know, looking for that. And I remember the department, the assistant there was saying to me, oh, are you kind of going off for the weekend? No, actually, I've got cancer. Yeah, kind of, it was all this kind of, all these terrible things. And I went off to, I thought I'll just try and be, I'll have a bra fitting whilst I'm here. And I thought it would kind of be straightforward because I'd had reconstructed breasts, but I felt like when I went in, I should probably kind of disclose it, you know. And so I kind of went into the fitting and said to the assistant, just so you know, I've got breast cancer and I've just had a double mastectomy and reconstruction. And I went to kind of get onto the next bit and I could just see her face. And it wasn't her foot, it was just this kind of drop, you know, of like, oh God. And I automatically was like, oh, but you know, maybe it's okay. And I was kind of saying to her, you know, I think I can wear. And she was like, oh no, well, I'll just go off and get my manager. And then her manager came back and they were both standing there and trying to kind of decide what I could wear. And it was so awful. And then she went off and brought this bra back and it was just horrific. It was so horrific. You know, it was something that I just never would have worn. It was this really fussy, lacy, cone Madonna-esque, horrible thing. I bought it, I think, just to get out, but more for me. But just thinking, so like, I was at a bit of at that stage, like a low ebb, or I was still not feeling particularly, like I'd lost all my hair at that stage, and I wanted it to be like a good experience. And I left just thinking, oh God, this is this is really awful. And is this what I'm stuck wearing now? Or can I not go to like a normal shop now because I'm a cancer patient? Is there somewhere, where do we go? Where are we supposed to go now? And message Sarah, because Sarah had a fitting. Was it on the same day or just?
I can't remember.
Well, just before,
yeah,
and had similar.
It was roughly around a similar time. So my surgery was different. As I said, I had a single mastectomy, but I didn't have a reconstruction. So I was given after my surgery in my hospital bed, the breast care nurse, the lovely breast care nurse, came round with a couple of bras for me and a comfy, which is just a very, very soft prosthesis, which you wear immediately after you've had your surgery and you've not had a reconstruction, basically. It's to give you symmetry. And she came and she gave me two bras. They weren't the right size. They were close, but they weren't the right size. But I had something to go home in. And actually, that does make you stop and think. You're not necessarily given a lot of advice beforehand about what you might need to bring with you or what you're going to be given afterwards. And I didn't know. So I had these two bras, not the style I would have chosen pre-surgery. But fair enough. I then followed that up a while later with a specialist bra fitting. So went to somebody who specializes in post-surgery fittings. It was at a clinical setting. So the fitting itself, you were in a hospital environment. It was a suitcase full of bras, a makeshift mirror. The fitter was talked about herself incessantly, took her shopping delivery queries while she was doing this session with me. It was extremely bizarre. And we then, you know, Kate and I were then talking about this and her experience. And we thought, what on earth is going on? Why is it that we've both had these bizarre services given to us? Why have we thought, well, that's okay, you know, we're in this other world now, so we don't have the same access to, you know, a really nice bra fitting? And then that got us thinking about, well, hang on, what if that is the case, could we do something about it? We also just didn't like the offering in terms of the types of products that we were being shown or led towards or searching for seemed to be something that just weren't necessarily age appropriate necessarily or style appropriate. There seemed to be a heavy leaning on kind of a frumpy look. And we thought there's got to be something better. There's got to be a better service that could be achieved. And then we thought, well, why don't we do it? So we just took ourselves off to be trainers, specialist bra fitters. We decided, let's do that. So we did that. We found a lovely lady who trains bra fitters across the country and in big department stores, and she trained us in specialist post mastectomy bra fitting, and then we've basically gone from there. We started talking to the hospital where we both had our surgery, and they were really interested in us doing something with them, i.e. providing a service to some of their patients. And then we also started looking at the kind of ranges of bras that were available and looking around and discovering, hang on, there are actually really nice options. There's different ways of wearing bras when you've had different types of surgery, and it's just not well publicized. It's not in one place. You have to go searching. And so we then just decided, well, we're going to do an online shop. And it was just all of that, you know. We have brilliant friends who helped us build the website and get the products on there. And we chose all of the bras and had some specialist advice from lingerie consultants to work out the best styles to suit different types of surgery. And then we launched in October last year during lockdown, which is not necessarily the best time to launch a business, but you know, it's worked.
Yeah.
Which kind of, I don't know, it just surprises us. We kind of felt vindicated, in all honesty, that the level of interest that we got from ladies like us who needed advice wanted recommendations, wanted bra fittings. And, you know, obviously we couldn't do that face to face at that point. It just showed us that we weren't the only ones who felt that way.
Yeah. And also it was kind of just interesting to get women getting in touch who had had surgery, you know, like 5, 10 years ago, but still felt the same way that we had, or experienced the same things that we had experienced. You know, we had like a 90-year-old lady that got in touch with us and said, you know, I still feel like I have to go into a department store to the area, you know, where there's probably a light bulb that's blown out, but nobody cares because that's where the mastectomy bras are. And, you know, find something that's horrible that doesn't really fit. And so it was really nice that we probably thought, oh, are we the only ones that feel like this? But it was really common. And as Sarah said, like, even because breast cancer, you know, it's not like a one size fits all. Everybody has such different kinds of surgery that it was just trying to help, you know, see Sarah having no reconstruction, me having 2 reconstructed breasts, trying to just help out in that area and find the right thing to suit you, which doesn't seem huge, but I think actually it is quite big. Like once you're trying to move on, that is quite a big thing in life, you know, moving on from that experience in your life.
I mean, it's amazing that you both have this attitude of there's a problem that needs to be solved here. Well, we're just going to go and solve it. And I think you've kind of found or noticed something that lots of other people have noticed, which is just once the kind of medical side of things is considered to be dealt with, a lot of women are just left on their own to kind of process what happens next.
Yeah.
And it doesn't just end with the practical side of, okay, now I need to find a bra that fits, which is hard enough before you've had a reconstruction. You know, when you're meeting with women who have had breast cancer up to a decade ago, it's a body confidence issue as well. It's kind of a self-image issue. So how would you say that side of things kind of plays into what you're doing? How important is it to you to kind of make women feel comfortable in their bodies again, and give them bras, lingerie, swimwear that, you know, makes them feel happy and makes them feel like they can still show their bodies after surgery?
It's incredibly important. It's probably the most important thing out of all of this, and is the driving factor to why we wanted to do this, because for women like us and having the surgery that we do, for a lot of us, there is an element of, you know, your breasts are tied up with your femininity. You identify as yourself as a woman often through your breasts. You know, some women don't, lots of women do, and for all of a sudden you are being told that part of that's going to be removed from you, and even with a reconstruction, you know these aren't my real breasts. You are dealing with the fact that your body has decided to kind of attack itself, and the reason you're having this surgery is because your body's gone, right, I've got a cancerous tumor, and I'm, you know, this is how we're going to deal with this. You've got to have that element of your body's got to go. And you couple that with the fact that your treatment as well could mean that you're losing your hair, could mean that your skin is changing, you're losing your nails, your eyebrows, your eyelashes. And imagine you're dealing with all of that all at once. And if there's one element that we can help with, which is, you know, bras, making yourself making somebody feel that they can wear nice underwear again, where they think that they can't, which is usually the case, they think that they can't find something nice and pretty or sexy to wear or that fits properly, that's what we want to achieve, is that, you know, to demonstrate, look at these lovely things that you can wear sexy, you can wear pretty, you can wear really comfortable, you can find a bra that holds your prosthesis, you can find a bra that suits you having a double reconstructed breasts. You might feel you're lopsided, and lots of women who choose to have a single reconstruction will have an element of asymmetry, and you know, all of a sudden they've gone from, you know, one natural boob and one reconstructed boob, and their bras don't look right, their clothes don't look right. And so what we've really tried to do with the things that we've, the items, the products that we've chosen and the items that we fit with are a massive example of you can still feel and look good. And here's how, basically.
Sometimes women say, well, you know, everyone else says to me, or I don't notice, you know, or my partner or my family or my friends, they always say, oh, I can't tell any, you know, I can't tell any different, but it's how you feel. It's like, but I feel that, you know, I want to feel confident again. And like Sarah said, I think like breast cancer can just be such an attack, you know, on everything that might be considered feminine. You know, you're losing your breasts, you're losing your hair. I lost my ability to have children, you know, any more children. And you can just get this kind of really like everything's coming at you. And then I think your mind at that point is really taken up in that, you know, that this is all to live, so you'll do it. But I think the hardest part is then after that, when you're, you know, luckily people are being diagnosed so much earlier now and we had great treatment, but then you're living your life, you've got to move on, and that can't be forgotten about, because sometimes that's even harder. And also, I guess what we were saying as well, we have, I think with some bras as well, lots of women get in touch with who are like, oh, can I have a really nice bra, because I've just chosen to go flat because I don't feel like I need to have a reconstruction, or Sarah didn't have a reconstruction, but I still want to feel, that's not my ideal of being feminine, having those breasts, having both breasts, having one breast, but I still want to feel good on my flat chest and celebrate, you know, my scars, or celebrate what I've been through. I'm a survivor. Don't treat me like a victim. Don't treat me like I'm not a woman anymore, but I still want to feel good underneath it all. And that's really important as well, you know, to support those feelings and validate that's, you know, with all surgery with breast cancer, it's such a personal choice. And I don't think anything is necessarily the right way to go.
I was going to say one big factor that's become apparent for us, that with a lot of women that have contacted us, is it's just a matter of comfort, pure comfort, that they are lacking, and you have to wonder why isn't the fact that they are uncomfortable because they've not been given the right advice. And I'm not talking about in a shop front setting, in more in that they've had their surgery, they have had their treatment, you're kind of deemed to be, well, we've dealt with your cancer, see you later, bye-bye. But they're not necessarily given tips on how they can feel comfortable with their new bodies. And I don't just mean from a self-esteem perspective, I also mean from a medical perspective, because some of the surgeries we have leave us feeling very uncomfortable, and not just for the short term. You will have this feeling, this sensation forever, for the rest of your life. And actually having a well-fitting bra, the right style bra, can alleviate some of that discomfort. And then that's so simple in theory to achieve, but if we thought about it more, and I don't know, if the whole breast cancer treatment package that we were given in hospitals also spoke about it as well, it's quite important to think about, or rather to discuss, that women just want to be comfortable, especially after you've had so many different types of surgery.
And hearing how the both of you talk about the Bra Sisters, talk about, you know, your ethos behind this and what you want to do for women who have had reconstructive surgery or have had mastectomies, and the care behind it. When I contrast that with what the two of you had to go through, it must be a relief to a lot of people that will listen to this now to hear that, okay, there is an alternative to, you know, having an awkward encounter in a shop with someone who's not used to it, or having a hospital fitting with, you know, someone who's not really got the right resources for you. So I think it's just fantastic that now this is something out there that people can access. And I think you've done an amazing thing.
Oh, thank you.
You can find the Bra Sisters at brasisters.co.uk, and keep up with them on Instagram at The Bra Sisters. Thank you so much for speaking with me today, Kate and Sarah.
Thank you for having us. It's been lovely. Really nice chatting.
Thanks, Em.
Thank you for listening to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our channel on your preferred podcast service to hear our next episode. If you have any questions or concerns from listening today, you can find information on our research, services and campaigning on our website at breastcancernow.org.